Some exciting regional baseball play for the eight teams from the ACC, a mix of wins and losses, some surprising outcomes thus far. Going into the Sunday schedule, all of the ACC teams were still in play. Following the outcome of Sunday's games, we'll know which teams will advance to the NCAA Baseball Super Regionals. There's a possibility of games being played on Monday as well. Scores and schedule at accnation.net. Virginia and Duke competed in the NCAA Rowing Championships. We'll share the outcome with you on the website as well. The countdown to summer has begun. It's June 21st. So close. But it may or may not be warming up in Minnesota. Who knows? We'll check in with Will about that. What exactly does that mean when it comes down to non-sports terms for Will and myself? What are we doing, in other words? What do we like to do during warmer weather? NBC Sports, early men's college basketball top 25. We'll get into that in just a second. We're also going to take a look at some of the guys who decided they're going to stick with the NBA draft, some who are returning, some who still have a question mark beside their name, which is surprising in some terms. Football. Preseason number one is being split between Clemson and Alabama. And the thing that I don't like about that, Will, is that it's sort of like everybody's so used to throwing Alabama out there as number one over the years that they're scared. You know, they'll take a little walk off of the plank, the end of the plank, and they'll go, okay, Clemson, they won a national championship, and we'll just go with that because that's easy.
But it makes sense, though. Even still, like, You feel like you come off a national championship, no matter the sport, you're always going to be ranked high next year, no matter what. I mean,
yep.
We can get into this later with Virginia. People are still having them in the top 10 of some rankings, and I'll get into a little more. But I think there are some questions to be asked about that team. But I mean, even still, Clemson lost one of the best defensive lines in college football history, honestly.
Right.
You know, they're recruiting at an amazing level still. And plus, you bring back Trevor Lawrence, you bring back Travis Etienne, you're going to have one of the better offenses in the league. And, you know, with Venables back at defensive coordinator, they're still going to be really, really good. And mm-hmm. Something else we can get into, you know, again, is who's going to threaten Clemson in the ACC this year?
Do you have an easy answer? or would it be fill in the blank?
They could get some trouble, kind of like last year when Syracuse gave them a game down in Death Valley. Mm-hmm. I could, you know, that something like that could happen again. Sure.
Yeah.
When they're on their A game, I don't think anybody's coming within two touchdowns of them.
I will say this about the ACC this year. I think it's going to be a better football season overall. I just feel like there's more depth and experience and talent coming back this year than maybe, and I'm talking about overall. I'm not talking just about specific teams. You know, you raised that question with Clemson. That's a good question. Same question ought to be raised for Alabama, being that, you know, people are saying, well, we'll pick them number one because it's easy and we've always done it over the years. There really isn't a clear follow-up to who should be number one other than those two teams. And we've talked about Georgia. Probably being that third team, mm-hmm. But they're second. They're not a first.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that at another time. We're going to be talking to people from different areas in regard to their teams in the ACC in the coming weeks, and is going to be fast and furious as we jump on that bandwagon of everyone else who is previewing football. We may talk basketball some, but I think this year that we'll just stick with, you know, when we talk with people, we'll talk to them about football. We'll talk about what their expectations are, what they see, what they've heard, and go from there. And, we'll try to fit that all in before the season starts earlier this season with week zero, which, what? Okay. Week
zero. I don't get it either. Week zero.
Yeah. That should be a good game. I'm looking forward to that. Let's get into basketball a little bit because we've got the NBA draft coming up and we've got guys who've come back. Guys who didn't come back, we think, maybe. And people who have definitely declared, I'm all in, which may have been a mistake on the part of a few people that I could pull off the top of my head. But then again, you know, who knows? But let's look at this one in particular. This is a more recent one. NBC Sports has an early men's college basketball top 25. And in that, Will, they have Michigan State as number one. I'm not going to argue with that. What do you think?
No, I think that's pretty much the consensus number one going into the next season, when especially with Cassius Winston back, and they return several starters, return a lot of players. Plus, they have a couple of nice recruits coming in, and yeah, there's I think for the most part they will be most everyone's number one coming into the 2019-2020 season.
Now, here's where I may have a little bit of an argument: Kentucky at number two.
Yeah, I have questions about them too. I actually think there's another team is a little further down who should be up here, and it's more because I'm higher on a certain player and what they get. But you know, Kentucky, yeah, they bring back, you know, Ashton Hagans, who is really good. They bring back Nick Richards, who's good, and they brought in another really strong recruiting class, which, you know, is the norm. But this is a team that, you know, I didn't think they were okay last year, but I mean they were good, but they weren't elite as far as I'm concerned. But mm-hmm. I think this team is good. You know, they're going to miss, you know, certain players from last year's team, and I think I don't think they're a top 10-ish team for sure, but number two, no, I'm going to disagree with that.
And now we get into ACC teams. At number three is Duke. And their projected starters for next year, Trey Jones, Alex O'Connell, Wendell Moore, Matthew Hurt, Vernon Carey. To be frank about it, that doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me in regard to them being ranked number three.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you get Trey Jones back, who I will say is the best on-ball defender probably in the country. Still struggles to shoot, though. Alex O'Connell, who's been a bag, I'm not enamored with him. You know, Wendell Moore, Matthew Hurd, Vernon Carey, three, you know, potential one and done type players who are going to come in and start, and they were all obviously very high recruits. Matthew Hurd being a local kid from Rochester, Minnesota, I'm interested to see what he can do too, but. None of these guys are even remotely on the same level of a Zion Williamson or an RJ Barrett. Right. And that's where you can argue that, you know, maybe this team is slightly overrated in a sense, but I think they're still a top five team, no doubt.
I'm top five, maybe a little outside, just because I'm not 100% confident in basically the players that you just outlined, especially the guys who are coming. But Trey Jones, yeah. You know, if it was just Trey Jones running the team, fine. If they had five of those, fine. I would say, sure. Okay, Alex O'Connell, question mark. Then the three after that, Zion Williamson, and then comparing, you know, I mean, apples and oranges, sure. But, I mean, yeah, I don't... I'm not feeling the love there. At number four is Villanova. What are your thoughts there?
I'm all right with it. I think they're another top five team. I know they do lose, you know, guys like Pascal and Phil Booth, who have been staples of that team for a while. But they do return a lot. They have some nice recruits coming in. And Jay Wright's one of the better coaches in the country, so you can't go wrong with having Villanova near the top.
At fifth, another ACC team, Louisville.
This is the team I'm really high on.
I thought you would be.
I think that this is the team I would put at number two, to be honest with you, with right behind Michigan State. Jordan Nwora coming back is going to be huge. We're a long ways away from figuring out all the preseason superlatives, but you could argue he could be preseason player of the year. Nwora could be. But we get Sutton and Enoch, you know, two veterans back, Ryan McMahon, a sharpshooter from three, but they bring in a top five recruiting class, who some of them are going to play, you know, day one, you know, they're going to start, I mean, and then the others are going to come off the bench and, you know, really contribute. And you look at the way Chris Mack coached that team last year, you know, most everyone had them near the bottom of the league and they rose up and, you know, finished mid pack with a team that probably overachieved last year and got into the NCAA tournament losing. I mean, yeah, they lost in the first round, but this team is going to be much more talented in this upcoming season. I mean, obviously there's always a question about how teams mesh, but I have a lot of confidence in this team and I think they should be higher.
I'm right there with you, Will. I think the Cardinals have what it takes, and they started putting it together last year under Mack. Did some amazing things with, and I don't want to diminish the players any, but basically not a lot, and went a long way with that, which speaks volumes about the players, how they bought into Chris Mack's program and what Chris Mack could do. Big thing there. Projected starters: Fresh Kimball, Samuel Williamson, Dwayne Sutton, Jordan Nwora, Malika Williams. Sorry about that. That is a strong starting five. And there's some depth on that bench as well. So, yeah, I would flip-flop with Kentucky. And I know that just must burn the people in Lexington quite a bit, because that's not something they want to hear. But I just don't think Kentucky, like we care. It's really simple. I just think that, you know, you have this track record of success, and people just get kind of sucked up into that. It's like a tsunami, you know, it just rolls you over and over and over. And the next thing you know, you're 5 miles inshore and you got nothing left. That's exactly what some of these teams, like, you know, Kentucky and Alabama, they do with the winning ways. And then all of a sudden when they hit that down, everybody's got to hit that down spot sooner or later. You're not going to immediately come back from that. And Kentucky is in that low spot still. Last year, I really thought they were overrated. I didn't think that, you know, the conversation, and I could see the steam starting to build up on this year of, oh, you know, they're right back in the conversation. I'll give you a top 10 spot and that's about it. That's where I am with Kentucky right now. You're going to have to earn it otherwise. Now, you call me crazy, and I know a lot of people do. But
I mean, as long as you're willing to admit it.
I will admit it. So I am there crazy. But, you know, hey, that's a sign of self-awareness. What can I say? Let's go to our next team, which is in the ACC. And we're going to drop down a couple numbers. I'm not going to go over everybody after the fifth spot. Virginia is at number 8. And their projected starters: Kihei Clark, Casey Morsell, Braxton Key. And this is a returning player, Mamadou Diakite, and Jay Huff. And I thought that mixture was pretty interesting, having those two big men on the floor as projected starters.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's coming back. You know, Kihei Clark, especially with Clark, Braxton Key, Diakite, and Huff. I think this has the potential to be another in a long line of elite defenses Tony brings back. But the question that I pose is, who's going to score for this team? Clark, you know, his shot. I mean, he had his moments. Especially as the season went on, he was really good in that Oregon game in the NCAA tournament. Braxton Key, you know, he definitely had his moments, you know, throughout the season. Was more his better moments were more on the defensive end. But, you know, Diakite, especially as the season went on, was pretty much an elite shot blocker. I think he will be a preseason defensive player of the year. Jay Huff, I think, has potential to be a really good player. I hope he spent some time in the weight room this offseason. I feel like he needs to bulk up a little bit. And his defense is still a work in progress, but anybody who knows Virginia basketball and the history of big men knows it takes a little bit of time for them to get the defense figured out. Casey Morsell, he's going to be, it's either going to be him or Tomas Woldetense, who's a JUCO kid who came in. Those two are going to be vying for the starting spot at the two guard. I think one of them needs to really step up their shooting game. I know Woldetense was a near 50% three-point shooter, but that's in JUCO, and the question is, can that carry over to the ACC? You would expect that to probably drop off somewhat, especially with the new rules and the extension of the three-point line. I think, Morsell, I'm hearing a lot of good steam about him and the way he's going to contribute year one. So it could be one of those guys. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens there. But again, this is going to be arguably the best defensive team in the country again. And if they can score, they get some consistent scoring, I think they will definitely earn this top 10 ranking.
Well, I see Clark, Stephen. You made a very valid point here, talking about how they improved. A couple of these players improved dramatically as the season progressed. And I think that is a typical Tony Bennett team, whereas you kind of work your way into things. Clark held off on shooting a lot as the season progressed, he started loosening up and started finding his spot.
Mm-hmm. He's, like I said, that Oregon game, he was clutch in that game. Nobody in that game was shooting well, but he, picked and chose his spots to take a shot, and he was hitting them. And yeah, I think, he got a lot of criticisms from Virginia fans throughout the season, feeling like he was kind of a liability in offense. But this is why Tony Bennett is arguably the best coach in college basketball right now, because he sees things that we don't. And obviously it paid huge dividends in the end. But I think to go back on something you had mentioned a little bit earlier, talking about Virginia, Jay Huff, I think there are going to be instances where, just like with Jack Salt, where he's not going to be, in a situation where he's going to be valuable to the team. And maybe Diakite would slide over and play the five more. And you have Braxton Key, and maybe go for a three-guard lineup with potentially Clark, Morsell, and Woldetense. We could also bring in, one of the Frankies, Cafaro or... why is the other guy? The other guy's name is eluding me at the moment, but they have other guys who didn't really contribute last year who could easily have bigger roles next year.
I think Jay Huff has super potential on the offensive side. That's where I see his strength, and I don't think that's been thoroughly tapped into just yet, but it will be this season. The additional shooting from the guard position, Morsell and the JUCO transfer, both. I see them unleashing a lot of shots. And once that rhythm gets established, I think Clark opens up. I think Key opens up. And the two big guys have proven that they have an ability to bring the ball to the hoop and put it in, and not only up close, but outside as well. So, as proven in at least one key moment in the playoffs between Clark and Diakite. Let's look at North Carolina. Projected starters there: Cole Anthony, Leaky Black, Brandon Robinson, Armando Bacot. I hope I said that right. Garrison Brooks. They are at number 12. And
this is an interesting team to me right here. Mm-hmm. This is because Cole Anthony at top, I believe it's the top five recruits who come in, definitely starting at the one. Leaky Black, who didn't play a whole lot last year. He'll get his time this year. Brandon Robinson back. Armando Bacot, he was the kid from Virginia that they stole, that UNC guy, and he's another high caliber recruit that UNC committed. And Garrison Brooks is going to be, you know, another probably kind of like a team leader type person now with guys like Luke May and Cam Johnson graduating and moving on to the next step. And yeah, they're probably, I think I might move them up a couple spots, put them right around 10. I think they're definitely a top 10 team, but yeah, you know, this is I think there's a clear top, I would say top four in the league right now, but it's just after that. And I think there's definitely top three, maybe Virginia at four, but I need some questions answered with Virginia, but I think Carolina is definitely in the top three with Louisville and Duke.
Well, I'm looking at the rest of the top 25, the early top 25 for men's college basketball. I see no other ACC teams there. And right off the top of my head, I don't really feel like anything ought to be inserted.
Nah, I mean, the only other team you could make an argument for is Florida State, but you know, I was disappointed to see Mofondo Cabangeli go. I feel like he would have been a potential maybe first team All ACC if he would have come back. Just getting that opportunity to play, get more playing time instead of being a six man, actually starting and seeing those, you know, things, his stats really balloon up. Other than that, yeah, I think you're right. I don't really see anybody else that really should be in consideration. I think there are too many question marks with all these other teams at the moment to really say, yeah, they should be there.
Well, my backdoor team here, I've got a couple of them, actually. VCU is ranked at number 23, and of course, that's where Xavion went. And I thought that I would throw that in there to make him feel a little better. They actually have a lot of potential, a lot of players coming back, and I think are deserving of being in that top 25 spot. Mm-hmm. We'll see how they perform.
Yeah, that was a team that really played better as the season went on, too. I mean, we saw them give Virginia a good game in Charlottesville last year, and then you can tell that defense was really good as the season went on. I don't think they were projected to be very good last year, but they definitely had a really strong season with a lot back. I think they're definitely deserving to be in a top 25 team.
They get the Siegel Center rocking again. It's been a little while since that has been the norm, I think, basically since Shaka Smart departed.
Yeah. And I really think that says something with all the turnover there at the head coaching position, too. I mean, you've lost, what, three coaches now? Dating back to Shaka, and they keep the program going, and obviously they develop players really well there.
Well, it looks like there's some movement on the athletic front there. The athletic director is looking at a lot of new facilities, including a baseball stadium, which is in the haggling stages with state government, local government, all that nonsense, which takes forever and a day, seemingly, in this area. But it kind of looks like there's some momentum going there. So that bodes well for the program. And I think where they're headed overall with sports such as basketball, where they're very strong, their baseball team has done fairly well, too. We'll see what happens. But let's talk here briefly before we get into some of the players that have decided to go on and jump into the NBA draft, or who haven't. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we are going to be doing this summer. What you look forward to do over the summer that's non-sports related. So I'm giving you the floor here.
So this is your way of telling everybody I'm coming to visit in a couple of weeks.
Well, no, actually, that might be like we'll keep that quiet for a variety of reasons, but that's part of it. But I'm actually more intrigued with some of the things that are, some of the things you like to do, over a summer, because summer is short. It's 1 week in Minnesota, and a lot of people don't know that. It'll be snowing the week before and after, and maybe a tornado thrown in for good measure. So what do you plan on doing this summer that you really look forward to doing over the summer that, that you can't get done in the other 11 months of snow?
Well, one of my favorite things to do is I like, especially on weekends, going and checking out some the craft beer scene here in the Twin Cities. My wife and I actually do a beer blog based here out of the Twin Cities, where we go around and, like I say, we go out and visit breweries. We'll, you know, from time to time, just buy beer at the liquor store and drink it, review it. And it's one of our, it's kind of, we started this last year, actually, after going up to a family reunion and decided on the way we were going to do this. And so we started with a small town brewery up kind of like north central or kind of northern north Minnesota, kind of like a waypoint towards the North Shore. And then we visited Duluth, one of the more beautiful cities out there. And we visited a brewery there. And then it's kind of taken off on its own. You know, we've reviewed several breweries, beers. I like to visit more breweries in the summer because on weekends, I like to sit down and watch my college and professional football. So during the summers when we tend to get out and visit more breweries. And it's a little passion hobby of ours, and we enjoy doing it very much. And then aside from that, you know, just enjoying the few days of summer we get, as Jim liked to mention, you know, we, you know, as many of you know that follow us, we have a dog who we spoiled the crap out of, but that's okay.
Yes, you do. And it like is okay.
Taking him to the dog park and letting him run around and let him play with some other dogs. That tends to be our life, really.
Well, the brewing thing, you talk about coming down here. That's one of the things that we're going to be doing. And when you come, you usually try to hit up a lot of different breweries, and we'll be doing that. I know that mm-hmm. There's a couple in particular that you really want to check out, and with good reason. And looking forward to that. That's always a lot of fun. From my standpoint, I like to get out and do some exploring. I kind of do this year round, but it's easier to do it in the summer. I like to take road trips or to fly places or whatever, and just check things out and explore. Like you said, I like to explore craft brewery, local food, because I'm kind of a foodie in a way. Not a snobby foodie, but just a foodie. I love to explore local cuisine, local bars, and some of them you can't get out of alive, so you have to be careful when you go. So that's something that we always look forward to. And one of the things that we discovered or rediscovered is going to out in the back roads and going through areas where they grow a lot of crops. So you'll find farmers who are out selling their produce in some of the weirdest locations in the world, but you will find some of the best food that you've ever had. And one thing that I discovered a while back were canary melon. And I've never even heard of it until I stopped by this place. It was on the eastern shore of Virginia. Guy had these melons. He started talking to me about them, and I'm going like, you know, what do they look like and everything. He started telling me, and I'm going, well, I got to try that out. So I picked up a couple, brought them home. Best melons I've ever had in my life. Very tasty. So if you ever have a chance to eat a canary melon, if you find one, get it. Apparently they're not that predominant, because I always ask the people at my supermarket, and we have so many of them around us, and I go to a couple of them, I ask them, have you ever heard of them? Do you have them? And it's always like this puzzled look on their face. They say, well, what are you even talking about? So anyway, something to do. And like Will said, beer time. Oh, by the way, we started a brew, and I got a chance to get involved in the early stages at Three Notched Brewing in Richmond. So that should be fun. Looking forward to that. That's coming out the 21st, first day of summer. How about that? All right, let's get into some of these guys that now, you know, in Virginia, we know that Diakite came back. He explored, and he's a little raw, you know, and I think most people recognize that. He has some physical attributes, which are great, but the NBA was saying, you know, get a little more time under your belt. Learn a little more under Bennett. And he made, I think, a very good decision, and I think the fans certainly agree. You can reflect on that. His returning to Virginia was a plus. Now, Kerry Blackshear, that's a situation.
It is? I know, it is.
Okay, now we know what team that you're rooting for. Okay. No, we didn't know that before anyway. So, but anyway, yeah, Kerry Blackshear, you know, what's the deal?
It's a real interesting situation because, you know, he decided to you know, check himself, you know, basically become draft eligible, went through the process, decided to come back, but decided he also was going to enter the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's not necessarily ruling out returning to Virginia Tech, which they get him back. They're obviously going to get a first team all ACC caliber player. And that team will be much, much better next year if he decided to go back to Tech. And they had a lot of turnover on that team with Buzz Williams' defection. They're not going to be quite as good this year. But if they can get Blackshear back, that'll be a huge boom for that team. But you know, he's also going to look at several other places. I don't know exactly who is looking at him, but you got to wonder with Buzz being at Texas A&M now, if he maybe looks there just because he has familiarity with the coach. It's a real interesting situation and one that I'm interested to see play out.
I think if Blackshear returned to Virginia Tech, my opinion, they're a top 25 team.
I don't know. I'm not ready to commit to that just yet.
Hey, well, you said commit, so insanity, right? Crazy. I just made my commitment. No, I
respect my decision. No interviews, please.
I really do. I really believe that he would make that much difference to that team with his return. He was a huge contributor to the success of the Hokies. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be anything other than 20 to 25. Okay. But they certainly, there is a team in that 20 to 25 range. I think they could bump out. It wouldn't be VCU, by the way. I'm not going to say who it is, but they will bump them out. I think they should. But that's just me, you know, crazy man. Any other players that intrigue you from the standpoint of college basketball who have decided that, gee whiz, I'm going all in, and maybe it's crazy on their part to have done that?
Before I get into that, I'm going to invite everyone to read an article by Matt Norlander. It was written Friday, actually, talking about how more underclassmen are going into the draft every year and staying in the draft with, you know, the likelihood that they are not going to get drafted, but are still going to have the opportunity to make money, whether it be playing in the G League or getting a two-way deal to, you know, go back and forth between the G League and the NBA, or just getting a contract to stay in the G League or going to play overseas, because they're not getting, obviously, you're not getting paid to play college basketball. And this is becoming more and more of a trend now. Even look at the kid, RJ Hampton, who just skipped it all and decided he's going to go play in New Zealand for a year before becoming draft eligible. And we're looking at probably in a couple of years with the new CBA that they'll get rid of the one and done rule. And there's going to be, probably around that time, whether the talent in college basketball is not going to be very good. The game's not going to be very good, at least for a year or two, until we start figuring out, you know, who, you know, more, getting more clear picture of what the college game will be like. But I think they're going back to players that probably should have, who probably aren't going to get drafted. You know, there's quite a few I think I could go through and name. I think one that I mean, you look at a guy, I'm not going to say he shouldn't have gone, but a Kyle Guy who, you know, maybe his stock is as high as it's ever going to be, which is at best maybe a second round pick. You know, he might just say, you know what, I don't feel like my draft stock is going to get any better. I might as well take the chance, you know, be a second round pick, maybe, you know, sit on the bench, be like one of the last guys on the bench, or go play in the G League and, you know, develop my game and, you know, maybe have a shot at an NBA roster down the road. Then there's guys, the one from Duke, was it, that decided to go in, who really I have not seen much of, you know, and the reason of why should he go. I think it was either Delorier or, God, what's the other guy's name? No, Delorier's coming back. It's the Bolden that is going pro, which I mean, he was a solid defensive player, but he just had a lot of work to do in the offensive end, and I think he was the classic case of why am I here? I mean, he might have gotten his playing time usurped anyways by one of the incoming freshmen, so maybe, and he probably just decided, you know what, I don't want to stay in college anymore. I might as well try to take this opportunity to go play professionally again, whether it be in the G League, overseas. You know, not everyone is gonna play in the NBA, and they realize that you know, I can make a healthy living just playing basketball elsewhere. And this is the state of the game right now.
Yeah, and I met a guy many years ago, played in Australia, and of course their seasons are different than ours. Mm-hmm. So you know, when it's winter here, it's summer there. So I would meet up with this guy every once in a while when he was in the U.S. and he was taking a break, and, you know, he would start training again. Sometimes he'd come out and shoot with some of the people that I was working with at the time. And nice guy. I mean, he was talking about, you know, there was no way in the world that he was ever going to make the NBA. And he knew it. He hoped to play in Europe, and he did a little bit on and off, but he found a niche, and he said, I just love playing basketball, and this is my opportunity to get paid to do something I really love to do. And I'm realistic about my dreams, my hopes and my dreams, and what I'm going to do when I hit, you know, my mid 30s or so, and where I'm going to go and what kind of career I'm going to have. Now I take that experience and I overlay it with the people who are in college, percentage wise, and we talked about this a little bit with football players, about the percentage of football players who actually make it to the NFL, and the percentage is so thin. I mean, it's such a small percentage of people who start out as an ankle biter and go, you know, I'm going to be the next NFL star, Dad. Who actually make it and who actually are in the league for a couple of years. And then it gets even smaller percentage wise when you get into how long they're there longer, like, you know, some of the quarterbacks who seems like the, you know, Brady and people like that, who seem like they have been there forever. The NBA, there's more of an opportunity just because of how it's laid out worldwide. But there's an awful lot of kids who want to go to that NBA level, who may never, but, you know, they don't come out of the best socioeconomic situations, so that, you know, they either have to or they want to make money. Some of them are not, from an education standpoint, capable of handling the extra burden that's placed on student athletes playing games and learning and producing all of that at the same time. They're not capable of that. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a reality check. So for me, anybody who says, I want to go, like the guy, you know, in New Zealand, I want to forego college. Okay, I get that. You want to play ball. You want to make money. People who go to the NBA or any of the sub-leagues or play in European basketball, they're making money, they're playing basketball, they're having a good time, they're enjoying it, they have a career and a life that they want. I'm okay with that. I really am. I've come more and more around to this viewpoint that is not a bad thing. And I'm not going to criticize anybody who says, you know what, time for me to depart. Kyle Guy, I certainly wouldn't ever criticize him. I think he's a great basketball player. I think you're right. He may be at his peak when it comes down to draft stock. And where you go from there, who knows? Maybe he would like to, you know, get married, which I think is in the works.
And he gets married this summer, yeah.
There you go. And produce revenue so that he and his wife have, you know, a home and all the things that come with it. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're in college.
You know, and
they would have struggled. I think she is studying to be a lawyer, if I'm not mistaken. And they would have struggled for a while, okay? And maybe that's not what they want to do. That's their choice. And I'm all for that. You know, I'd love to have seen him come back. Do I think he's going to be a top-round draft pick? No. Do I think he'll play that much? Maybe not. But a lot of people said that about Malcolm Brogdon, too. I mean, look at what he's done. He's done very well for himself. And when he comes out of there, he has the education behind that to do very well for himself. So there's all kinds of exceptions and stuff there. So I say it's all good. It's all good. Whatever you want to do, it's all good. Be you, okay? Just be you. And folks, if you got a problem with a college player making money, that's your problem, not theirs.
That's the reality of the situation. You know, you're not making money in college, and you gotta go. And this is how you gotta go to make it. And looking at, and was reading the article about R.J. Hampton, you know, talking about his decision to, you know, bypass college and play the 1 year in New Zealand. And I think his quote was basically what a lot of the top players in you know, coming out of high schools are thinking the same way. Is their dream is not to go play college ball. Their dream is to play in the NBA. And it kind of shows just how ridiculous the one and done rule has become. And the funny thing is back when it was first announced, I kind of liked the idea, but you know, you look at it in retrospect and, you know, what good does it do really? If you're really a college basketball player, if you know you're only going to play 1 year, all you got to do is just show up the first semester and make sure you pass. And then you could basically not play the second semester if you really wanted to. Depends on how lax your coach is if they don't care about academics that much, they're just more worried about winning, you can get away with it.
I think this is nothing more than the NCAA covering their rear in their financial interests. You know, honestly.
I mean, no matter what, March Madness is still going to be March Madness.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's going to change anything. There will be a lot of other players who step up to fill those roles. Will they be? Maybe they won't be at the same level as a Zion Williamson. I don't know. We never know. I mean, you know, it's like some of the players that I see playing on the field in the NFL didn't come out of huge schools, and they're some of the most dynamic players in the league.
Some of the best of all time. You look at Jerry Rice, for example, out of Mississippi Valley State. I mean, who would have thought back in the 80s or where when there was hardly any scouting at a school like that, that he'd developed to be one of the best wide receivers of all time.
And some of these folks, just like this, that Rice is probably the best example. you can just say the same thing about basketball. There's going to be an awful lot of players out there who want to step up, maybe who don't get the recognition that they would have in certain situations, and now that opportunity will open for them. So there'll be more of an open door for recruiting deeper. And we'll see how it all works out. I think it'll all be good. I think the excitement, like you said, the March Madness aspect of it will still be there. It'll still be fun to watch. And I don't think that's going to diminish college basketball in the least. Not at all. All right. A lot of sports action, like I said, coming up. We're going to be talking with some folks about the teams of the ACC and Notre Dame as well. Because as Will pointed out the other day in, I think, a tweet that, hey, after all, we cover Notre Dame too, because they're essentially part of the ACC. Anyway, they play enough games that, so far as I'm concerned, they're a member of the ACC football family, one way or the other. Like it or not, Irish fans, that's a reality. Contracts don't lie. Hey, make sure that you stay in touch with Will on Twitter. He's at Will's World MN. Xavion is at XAYVEON, and I'm at ACC The Q. And you can also check out the website at accnation.net. Make it your homepage if you'd like to. Also join us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and also LinkedIn. All at ACC Nation. Okay? We'd love to have you there. Until next time, cheers.
Score.